Good to be back here this morning. I'm glad that Brother Armour gave me this opportunity to come and speak, because I had no intention. If I would have woke up Monday morning, I would have had no intention of standing up here this morning and giving this sermon. But Thursday night, I had an invitation from a buddy that I play flag football with, my coach, to come to a devotional. And he had asked me, he's probably asked me for the past 3 weeks to come, and I've said no every single time, for the sole reason that I didn't know what he believed. I didn't know where he stood, and I didn't want to go and support that because I didn't think that they believed how we believe. Now, I went to this devotional with an open mind, and they said some things that I agreed with, a lot of things that I agreed with. Actually, every single thing that they said in that devotional, I agreed with. And it opened my eyes to see that it's not just us that have the truth. There are other people that are out in the world that have the truth. So we have to talk to those people, right? And a story was brought to me. And it was so beautiful. And it was so different. I never thought about it this way. But I'm going to try to share this story with y'all. Let's say that you had a man. Let's say you were dying, and there was a man that was willing to give up their heart to give to you. And during the process of giving you their heart, they died. And we've heard this happening before. Let's say that person died. You would walk around the rest of your life, telling people about that person, would you not? About how that person gave up their life for you, how they sacrificed everything for you. You would tell every person that you came in contact with, because you watched them die. You watched them live and you watched them die. And you would tell everybody, because somebody gave up their life for you. Guess what? Somebody gave up their life for every person that is sitting in this church building. Amen. Somebody gave up their life for you and for me, and there was no reason for them to do that. No other reason, for the simple fact that he loved us that much. He gave up his life. Jesus Christ, our Savior, gave up his life for everyone. Not just the nice people that walk their lives how they're supposed to, the mean ones too, the little kids, the older ones. He died for everyone. So I'm going to try to tell you about the person that lived and died for me this morning. I'm going to try to stand up here with the Lord's help and tell you about my Savior, one that gave me a new heart, one that gave me a new soul, one that gave me eternity in heaven. That's who I want to tell you about. And a lot of times when you hear preachers stand up and you hear them talk, they tell you about the bad things, the things that are going to happen if you live and you die and you're going to go to hell. That's what you hear about. But I want to tell you about the great things that are to offer to you. I never think about this. When you talk about giving a sermon to a lost person or talking to a lost person, you tell them what's going to happen if they die and they're lost. They're going to die and they're going to burn in hell forever. We all know that. We've all been taught that. If you're lost and you die, you go to hell. But to think about the benefits and the great things that there are to offer to the ones that are saved. A mansion in eternity with God, our Savior, the one that gives us the new heart, the one that gave us salvation as a gift. We get to be with that person forever. Forever. You want to talk about forever? If I were to sit here and draw a line right here for your lifetime and for all of eternity in heaven or in hell, because it's one of the two, your life wouldn't even make a dot on that line. You wouldn't even see it. Because eternity's forever. Our time on this earth is very short. It's very, very short. That dot. That's all you have. And if you don't get it right then, if you don't realize who your Savior is, that dot is all you're ever going to have. You're going to have that life and you're going to burn in hell for all eternity. The great thing about Jesus is that as a 10-year-old boy, I was able to know what was wrong with my heart. And I was able to come to God and ask Him with a humble heart, as a 10-year-old boy, to save my soul, and he did. And I'm still fine from that very moment. I'm still fine. I don't have anything to worry about. I truly don't. But that's the great thing, is that all God asks us to do, all Jesus wants from us, is for us to come to Him. To just take a step. Just us. Not to bring anything along with us. Not to, all these things that get trapped around us in this world, all these things we try to hold on to and call, you know, important, they're not. He doesn't want those things. I tried to make every bribe in the world, tried to give Him every single toy that I had as a 10-year-old boy. He didn't want those things. All He wanted was me. That's the only thing God wanted, is a 10-year-old boy to just ask Him to save his soul with a humble heart, to believe in Him and ask forgiveness for the things that I had done. And I didn't do it with my mind. I tried to do that for about 2.5 hours. But once I said it with my heart, once I got my heart where it needed to be, saved my soul. Just like that. There's a story in the Bible, if y'all would like to turn with me, to Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. I'm going to read down to about the 27th verse or so. This is a story about a ruler that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do? How can I inherit eternal life? And this is Jesus' answer. It says, and a certain ruler asked Him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God, because God is good. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, He said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, set all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. God wants us, Jesus wants us to come to Him with just us. With just us. We don't have anything to offer. Once we realize how small we truly are, that's when you get saved. When you realize how small of a person you truly are. Remember that line that I drew. Think about how many billions of people are in this world. The ones that have already died and the ones that are being born. I think it's every like 3 or 4 seconds somebody else is being born. God's creating another individual. God has placed another individual on this earth. So you just become a little bit smaller. Just remember that. To humble yourself. In the big scheme of things, you're really very small. And to think that you're anything bigger than that is selfish. And I'm worse than anybody. Anybody that knows me personally knows I'm a very prideful person, and I probably think a little bit too highly of myself. Actually, I think way too highly of myself, and I know that. But as a 10-year-old boy, when I got saved, God helped me to humble my heart. With God's help, I was saved. It wasn't anything that I did. Now, what happened with this ruler, y'all heard me talk about how I was trying to give God things, material things, but He didn't want that. And Jesus says to this rich man right here, says, distribute all your money unto the poor. Get rid of all your money. That's what's holding you back. You're trying to place money in front of me. That's a material thing. When you die and your life is over, you're not going to take your money up with you to heaven. It's not that way. All that money's going to stay down here and it's going to burn because this world's going to become hell one day. And everything's going to burn up. So whatever it is that may have stood in your way throughout your life, from you either serving God or from being saved, you have to take that and you have to set it aside. Whether it's really important to you, whether it's not important, if it stands in the way of you being saved, it's not important. No matter what it is, the only important thing is being saved. People have heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. If you're lost and you're here this morning, this moment that you sit in, it's the most important moment of your life. I promise. Because this is the next moment that you could be saved. The next second that goes by, you're just wasting time. That's all you're doing. Because you're never going to live to what God wants you to be if you're never saved. You can't ever do anything well enough without being saved. It's all about salvation. That's what life is about. It's to be saved and to serve God. All you have to do is believe in the one that gave you the new heart. You open up a history book in school, and I know we've all been in school. You open up a history book, and you read a story about George Washington. Is what does everybody do? They believe it. Why do they believe it? Because somebody told them that it was true. I'm sitting here, and I'm telling you it's true. Brother Armour can stand up and tell you that it's true. My mom, my dad can tell you that it's true. Do you want to know why? Because it's true. Jesus Christ lived and died for you. Jesus Christ gave you a new heart and He wants to save you. He's willing to give it to you. All you have to do is come to Him with a humble heart, asking Him to save you. And He will. He asks nothing of us. Truly, He really asks nothing of us but to come to Him and to believe and repent. It's very simple. It's very simple. 10-year-old boy, I think I heard about somebody being saved at the age of 6. 6 years old. 6 years old. Being saved. How much does a 6-year-old truly know? Very little. Less than nothing, probably. But they were able to be saved. That's how simple it is. That is how truly simple it is. So let's talk about salvation. Let's talk about how to come to God. There's a verse in the Bible that I've used before.
It's in James chapter 4, if you'd like to turn with me there. James chapter 4, and I typically don't read from this part, but I'm going to start from about verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1 from James. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So I want to look at that fourth verse, where it says, whoever is an enemy or whoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. God watches over this world and He sees everything that goes on. That does not mean that He is okay with the things that go on in this world. Don't be consumed of this world, lost person. Don't be consumed of this world, because it has nothing to offer you. Jesus Christ has everything to offer you. You just have to be patient. Because that day is going to come when your life's going to end. And trust me, it'll be worth giving up this little world. I promise you that. It'll be worth giving up everything to come to Him and to believe and repent. Let's keep reading. It says, "Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." God wants to lift you up this morning. He wants to save you this morning, this moment, this very second. He wants to save you. He didn't just send His Son to live and die for no reason. There was a reason. It was for us. It was for the people that are going to live in the future, the people that are in the past that have already died. He sent His Son to die for us. And to not care enough to just truly believe in your heart that it happened and to ask Him to save you is so selfish. That's kind of mean to say, but it's honest. That's selfish. That is so selfish. And I've been that way. And I was that way because I knew I was lost before that night that I got saved. And I just sat there and let days go by and days go by and days go by without ever seeking Him. So all these things that you hear me say I've been through, I've done that. I was a little bit younger, but I still went through it. I still went through it. When I preached out at the tent revival outside in the front yard, I said one thing, I think it was in closing, that God wants you to bring yourself to the lowest point that you can possibly bring yourself in front of Him. And then He will lift you to the very highest that you will ever be in your life. Am I right? He will lift you so high, you will feel like you're on a cloud, just soaring above everybody. Anybody that's ever been saved knows what I'm talking about. As a 10-year-old boy, when He saved me, He lifted me up so high, and I was sitting there crying in my sister's lap, begging Him to save me. I had nothing to offer. I was begging and begging and begging in my mind for Him to save me. And when He saved me, when He finally did, when I got my heart right, I was perfectly fine. It's as if nothing had happened. It's as if I hadn't been sitting there crying my eyes out for 2.5 hours. I can tell you, I pictured it in my mind, me and God sitting in a room, and all I was trying to do was take that step towards Him. If you take one step, He'll take 10. You take one step, He'll take 10. All you have to do is make the move. When He puts it on your heart to seek Him, you have to seek Him in that moment. With a humble heart, not with pride. We all have a lot of pride about ourselves. You heard me say it. I have it just as bad as anybody else. But you have to take that pride and with God's help, ask Him in prayer. Because prayer is a true thing. Anybody that says it's not is wrong and they're lying to you, I promise. Through prayer, you ask God to help you to set your pride aside so you can come to Him with a humble heart. That's all He asks. That's all God wants to do. I watched a movie recently called Passion of the Christ. And I've never watched it before. And to see, anybody that's never seen that movie, there's some things that I don't necessarily agree with that go on in that movie. But I'm just talking about the visual of what they did to Jesus. When you're doing a heart transplant, somebody gives up their heart, they put you to sleep. And then they take out your heart so you don't feel any of the pain. Jesus not only died, He suffered. He went through agony, and nobody in this room can understand what that was like. I can't even. I can't even come close to see what they did to Him. They took whips and beat Him upon His back until the wounds were just open. He was just dripping with blood. They took thorns, a crown of thorns, and placed it upon His head as it dug into His skin and blood began to rush down His face. And when they hung Him on the cross and they put the nails through His wrist and they put Him up. And I'm sorry, that's a pretty hard image for me to take in. But somebody did that for me. That somebody did that for me. I have nothing to offer. All I can do is stand here and tell you about it. And I'm trying to stand here and tell you about the one that lived and died for me. As those open wounds on His back drug across that wooden cross. And they didn't only do this to Him, but as they did it, they laughed at Him. And they spat upon Him. And they made fun of Him. And at any time during that, He could have stopped. And God could have sent angels down and ended it like that. But He chose to keep going. He chose to keep fighting. And He chose to battle through it. Jesus died for you and wants to save you. That's the big picture here this morning. And all He wants is you. He doesn't want your mom to come with you or your dad to come with you. Or your $1 million to come with you, or your Ferrari car. He doesn't want those things. Because He has much better things in heaven waiting for you. Much better things. all He wants is you. And all you have to do is come to Him, and He'll save you. And that pain, that beating that you feel in your heart, it's gone away. He takes it away. That's a burden. You hear about a burden, and you wonder what that is. When you get that pounding in your heart, and you wonder what it is, and you're like, what is this feeling? Why is my heart about to beat out of my chest? We've all had that feeling. We've all been there. Anybody that's ever been saved knows what I'm talking about. That's conviction. And anybody that tells you that God isn't real has never had that upon their heart, or they choose to neglect it, because that's God working. That is God working in your heart. You can't see Him, but you can feel Him. It's like the wind blowing. You know that the wind's there. You can't see it, but you can feel it, right? It's the same thing with Jesus. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. He's there. He's watching after you. He didn't die for a couple of people to be saved. He didn't die for the ones that are sitting in this room to be saved. He died for us, but not just for us. He died for everyone. For everyone. It doesn't matter how bad you think you may have lived your life from this point, or from up to this point. It matters what you do right now. Do you choose to get it right now? Because what you choose to do takes you for the rest of your life and on down that line that I drew. Forever and ever and ever. It never ends. To think about that. To think about 100 years. That's a long time to live a life. Somebody lives 100 years old, they lived a long life. No, they really didn't. Because a long life to me is an eternity. That's a long life. Forever and ever and ever. It's never going to end. So you got one of two options. And I'll leave you with this. I'll close with this. You can either humble yourself now and be saved and have an eternity with God. Or when the world comes, or when God comes back, you're going to end up trying to humble yourself then. And by that point, it's going to be too late. You can choose to humble yourself now or choose to humble yourself later. But I promise you, humbling yourself now in front of the people that are here that are watching is much better than waiting until God comes back and trying to beg for mercy and beg for another opportunity, because He's not going to give you one. He gave you all this time on earth. He gave you this opportunity to sit in church. If He never gave you another opportunity, but one moment in church, but one single moment to sit in church and to hear what He had, or what a preacher had to say, or hear God's message, you only had one shot. That would be enough. That's all He has to give you. He's God. He's given you an opportunity this morning. Take the opportunity and run with it. I'm not saying run up to this altar and start praying and asking God to save you. You can bow where you are right now. If you're not feeling that conviction upon your heart, you need to ask for it. And you don't have to be saved in the church house. You don't know that. You can be saved anywhere. But if God's dealing with you right now, now is the moment that you need to be saved, because He wants to save you. I promise. That's all I have this morning. I hope it had some effect. I truly hope it did. Brother Bird, if we could have a song.
Let's all stand and turn to page 119 in the first section and last verse. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood? It was for somebody.
Amen.
Don't know who it was for. All I can ask this morning, is it for you? That's all I can ask. Is it for you? Was this message for you? Have you truly been saved by God's grace? Have you ever called upon the Lord and asked Him to save your soul? Have you ever felt the condemning power of conviction of the Holy Spirit of God when He touches you in your heart and says, "You're a sinner. You're separated from me." Where you feel cast out. Maybe you've never had that feeling before in your life. Maybe you've never had that place where you felt lost and separated from God. Maybe you don't know or understand about that this morning. But this morning, this message was given to somebody. And I would ask, if you have never been saved by God's grace, did you consider this message? Is this for me? Was this message for me this morning? Was God speaking to me? Was God telling me that I was a sinner, that I needed to repent and trust in Jesus until He saves my soul, until there's something happens inside of me that allows me to know and understand that heaven's going to be my home one day, that all the things that's within me, all these fears and anxieties of death and pain and suffering in this world is taken away from me, that I can know and understand that there's a peace inside. See, that's what salvation is. There's a peace that God gives to those that have repented of their sins and trusted in Him. He takes all the anxiety and the fears and the sorrows of this world away and replaces it with peace. There's an understanding within you that starts right here and then it goes to here and it says, it tells us right here that this right here is okay. Heaven's going to be my home. I don't have to worry anymore about death. We're given that spirit, that period of time like that one talks about. We're given that period of time here on this earth to be saved. That's what we're given, that time. To come back into relationship with God, we're given that. We're given a whatever our life length is, a life period of time, to come into a relationship with God, that when we leave this world, that we'll go to heaven. And for those that squander or waste the opportunity, and that's what it is, it's squandering, it's wasting. If you're here this morning and you're lost, and the Lord is speaking to your heart and telling you that you need to pray and ask Him to save your soul this morning, please do it, because you're squandering your opportunity one of these days. Time will be up for this earth or for this old body that we live in, this old fleshly body. It's going to be up. And the most important thing that you can ever, ever, ever do in this life while you're here on this earth is to find the Lord. Find the Lord. Find that peace in your heart. Know and understand that you need to call upon God until you feel that peace in here. Ain't a whole lot you can say about it or put to it to words, but you can know it. I was just like Dylan. I was a young boy and I was lost, and I can see the flames of hell at night coming over the sides of my bed. I just kept calling inside of me and an understanding that heaven was going to be my home. I knew it. Nobody didn't tell me. There was people all around me at the church and everything else. They didn't nobody come up and tell me that I was saved. They didn't give me any assurance that heaven was going to be my home because it was between me and God. It was a personal experience. I knew it. I knew it. God told me. He spoke peace to my heart. And that's the way it works. If there's man that has given you peace, then it ain't real peace. If man's given you salvation, man can take it back. You haven't been saved. Salvation is personal. It's between you and God. I know this, like I said, I know this message was for somebody this morning. I would just simply ask each person here, say, was that for me? And if it was for you, please take the message to heart. Call upon God. Seek Him while He may be found. Seek Him while you have time. We're not guaranteed another day here on this earth. Another breath. We're not guaranteed anything. We never have been and never will be. It's only by God's grace and love and mercy that we're here. And you're having that opportunity. Been good to be in the Lord's house today. He was present. He was here.
He was busy with us today. Now, you know, doubt in my mind that He was speaking to somebody, some lost person here today, that He was talking to them. He was letting them know. You just got to do your part. Do your part. Seek Him and be saved. Be a thought or word on anyone's heart.
I want to tell Bill how much I enjoyed the sermon today. I was like him. I was just two months shy of my 8th birthday. And it'll soon be 60 years when God spoke peace to my heart. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. It's the most amazing thing. I don't remember much from when I'm 70 years old, but I remember God saved my soul. He spoke peace to my heart, and it's just imprinted there. Yeah. And just at the blink of an eye, I can go back to that time and know what I said to Him. I know what I said to Him when I said it. When He saved my soul. That's just the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing thing to have in this life, salvation. It's just, you just can't describe it. The words just are not there. To convey to people how much peace that you can have in your heart and know that God is dwelling there. I enjoy this message.
Amen. Amen. Something on someone else's heart.
That's it.
Fine. We have a solemn Christian handshake this morning. And if you're here in lost, take time. Seek the Lord this morning.
Listen to the words.
Not any doubts. You don't have any second thoughts. You're sure. You know. You know that you know that you know that heaven's going to be your home. That's a blessed assurance. That's peace. That's peace in your heart. You can't get that from any other salvation but repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only one. It's the only way. Anything else on anyone's heart before we have a handshake?
I don't need to know for 2 minutes, though. Do I need to give this coming in a few moments? You took these books for celebration. I have to ask. This Thanksgiving week.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? If not, let's have a handshake.
Deborah and Dylan. Now, we appreciate this message today. The birds have a song.
Start to page number 51. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way.
Ah!
baptized.
Anything else on anyone's heart? You know, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He can tear you up to the point where you don't want to eat. He knows what it takes to bring us down. Something on someone else's heart.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. And I have a lot of questions to ask me about Linda and her family and others. Ask the Lord to let me have right answers. And pray for that. And pray for them. I don't know how many's been saved. I think Linda and her sister maybe. But I'm glad they all came, and I'm thankful to Dylan for what the Lord gave him to preach about today.
Amen.
And maybe they'll think about it.
Amen. Amen. Someone else.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I always loved hearing Dylan preach, and I wish every child that we know could be here to hear this, because it's just wonderful. And minds, great minds must think alike, because I've had Linda on my mind a lot. And yeah, I remember her.
Certainly do, still. Remember her, you know, she's still really having a hard time with the loss of her husband. She's really struggling. She really does need our prayers. We all have a responsibility. We all have that responsibility to one another, not just him, one another. Something on someone else's heart.
Most preachers about that way.
Absolutely.
seen him grow every time he preaches. I think I speak for this church when I say we love you. And we're praying for you.
Amen.
God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Someone else? If not, it might be time to dismiss. I'll stand and we'll be dismissed. Business meeting tonight. All who can and will, please come back. See, it's good when you know the Lord's in it. And people know the Lord's in it. That's even better. That's what's good about preaching. When you know the Lord's in it, and everybody else does too, that's what makes it good. All hearts and minds free. Brother Terry, you dismiss us.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today, for bringing us here. We thank you, Lord, for this message that we've heard. We'd ask you, Lord, of all things, that it might enter into the heart of a person or persons that it was intended for, that they might fall under conviction and turn to you. We'd ask you, Lord, to give us guidance and strength to lead us. Lord, we'd ask you to help us to lay aside things of the world and the temptations that come before us. We'd ask you, Lord, to hear the prayer request that's been made for the sick. Above all, Lord, for the lost. We'd ask you, Lord, to give us a burden for the lost. Lord, to be with us throughout this next week. Lord, watch over us and give us guidance. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Amen.